Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
For me, better therapy is to talk Penn State football with a guy like Sam Cohn from the Philadelphia Inquirer. Sam, great to have you on the beat. Welcome.
You guys, so much for having me. Appreciate you.
All right. So let's start with the game on Thursday night. So everybody gets a chance to see everything for the first time. What were the general impressions that you took out of that game at Ross-Ade Stadium?
For starters, that was quite the up-and-down game. I think that the big part of that first half, the kind of biggest takeaway, was that final minute heading into halftime when it seemed essentially like a 14-point swing where Purdue's kind of coming down with a chance to either cut it to one or take a lead headed into half. And Penn State forces a turnover, and then instead of kneeling out the final 30 seconds of the clock, drives down the field and scores a touchdown to make it a two-score game. So the aggressiveness in week one against the conference opponent, I think, definitely stands out. And then the sort of hot and cold play of Sean Clifford, where he almost gave up a game-winning touchdown to the other team with a pick six in the fourth quarter, or something like 72 yards, and then manufactures a two-minute drill, a game-winning drive. So I think the up-and-down play of Sean Clifford was a big note out of the first game. The offensive line not taking the big step forward that every year people around Penn State are looking for it to take. And I thought the defense was pretty solid. I mean, James Franklin had touched on a little bit this week that there were way too many drop balls. The first one that comes to mind is the Joey Porter could have been a pick six on the first or second drive of the game. But those are probably the biggest takeaways, I think, for me, is that the offensive line didn't necessarily take a step forward that maybe, but of course, it's week one. I think at the end of the day, you can't really undervalue or underestimate how hard it is to play a conference opponent on the road in week one. It's a lot of kind of like getting those week one, I don't want to say jitters out of the way, but like those week one mistakes that are going to happen. It's tough on the road. It's tough against a conference opponent. But overall, the fact they were able to squeak out that win, especially in a two-minute drill at the end of the game, I thought was impressive.
On Sean Clifford for a moment, you talk about the hot and cold play. Well, the cold play is the one interception, but he also threw a touchdown pass every nine attempts. Was it actually more hot than cold?
I think so, but when you walk away from a game like that, how cold the cold was, I think there are going to be a lot of fans and a lot of pundits that look at that to say, well, you know, he played well, but that was the play that he needed to make, or that he, better way to phrase it is that was the play that he couldn't make. You can't throw that interception in that situation as a sixth year quarterback, you know, supposed to be after an 11 and 11 two seasons, that's the play you kind of can't make. So there were a lot of people, I mean, there were former Penn Staters on Twitter and a lot of people on Twitter criticizing him for a play like that. But yes, I would agree with what you're saying that there was a lot more hot and cold, but that's kind of the nature of the position, the nature of the game, that when you make a play so cold, that's the one people walk away with.
Many players make that play and don't come back from it. Mm-hmm. What does it tell you about him that he came back from it?
A lot. I think it speaks to his mentality, his leadership, his resiliency. The way that they manufactured that two-minute drill, I thought was really impressive. He made a lot of great, you know, they made the right play, especially that last play he had talked about after the game, that it was a cover zero they were playing against. They knew what was happening. They knew what the defense was doing, but it was a broken play. It fell apart. He was able to make a really nice toss off his back foot, obviously caught by Kevon Lee. I thought on that last drive they didn't really force the issue on any tough throws. They didn't force him to make any tough throws until that last play that scored the touchdown. That was, you know, him rolling out to his right. I thought there were a lot of just kind of dink and dunk, and then Mitch Tinsley did a lot of the groundwork, a lot of the legwork to get them down the field. Yeah. So I thought it was a well-manufactured two-minute drill, but they didn't force him after throwing the interception. They didn't force him to, or they didn't run any plays to kind of have him throw another ball like that.
Usually after 4 years, you do leave, and Jahan Dotson after 4 years did leave. He ended up being the first-round pick of the Washington Commanders. Mitchell Tinsley is not expected to be Jahan Dotson, Sam, as you and I both know, but he also made one of the key plays on that drive. What can he add to that offense?
he could be a huge piece of this offense. I think that wide receiver group, that trio between Keandre Lambert-Smith, Parker Washington, and then Adam Mitchell-Tinsley could really be one of the strongest groups that Penn State has. Obviously, two returners. And there's a stat, I don't have it off the top of my head, about those three. One of very few teams in college football to have a trio that had 500-plus receiving yards the year before or something like that. So they have a really, really strong group. And adding Mitchell-Tinsley to that group is, especially as a guy who's played a lot of college football, I think really helps. His first catch was a touchdown. Obviously, it's a small sample size. We've seen one game of him as a Nittany Lion. But in the long run, I think he's going to be a really, really important piece because now they can spread the ball out a lot more on the outside. Having those three guys, James Franklin's talked about wanting a strong six, having two at each position. He said he feels like they're at five right now. Getting to that six, I think, is going to be important.
Sam, as the game kept progressing, were you surprised that Purdue kept going at Joey Porter Jr.?
Yes and no. Yes, because it just makes sense. On paper, it makes more sense to go away from him. But it's interesting that James Franklin said something along the lines of that they weren't necessarily going at him. It's just that the way their offense worked was they kept finding him.
Right.
I think if you're Purdue, you do everything in your power to not go at him. But it was the nature of the way their offense was running and the way they were calling plays that they kind of found him. And obviously, he was probably their best defensive player in that game.
Purdue, in his final five possessions of the game, ended up with two first downs, and that was it. No points, final five possessions.
Yeah.
What difference did you see in how Penn State played those final five possessions that may have been an adjustment from earlier in the game?
That's a great question. I don't know if it was necessarily – I mean, from my point of view, again, there are probably people that saw something a little bit more in detail that maybe I didn't see. But I think from my point of view, it was a lot more comfortability. And the interesting part for me about the defense was Manny Diaz, obviously his first game coaching the defense, his first game play calling this defense, they were really aggressive from the get-go. Once I think things started to settle and they sort of had a better feel on – Purdue was really, really strong at, okay, Aiden O'Connell wants to get the ball out quick. They had a really, really solid, obviously great quarterback play leads to a lot of success for an offense. But Penn State did a really strong job of, you know, of really forcing the issue. They blitzed a lot. They attacked a lot. They gambled a lot. There were a couple, almost interceptions or almost big plays where the Joey Porter drop, in the beginning of the game, and then blanking on who it was. Someone had someone tried to jump a ball and just missed it.
Keaton Ellis jumped one and just missed it.
It might have been Keaton Ellis. But the point being that they were really aggressive defensively. That Manny Diaz talks a lot about the hallmark of a Manny Diaz defense is, you know, how do we force more turnovers? What can they do differently to create turnovers? Their whole mindset and their whole mantra is forcing turnovers, which might sound like, of course, that's every team in the country, but Manny Diaz, I think, pushes it a little bit more, has it in their head a little bit more. So it's the aggressiveness to get to the quarterback and to force turnovers and force the offense to make a mistake. I think as the game progressed, you saw a lot more comfortability in the defense in enforcing that issue, both in the front seven and the secondary.
Special teams is always a tricky one early in the season, Sam, as you and I both know. LSU and Florida State was a good example of that. Muff punts, blocked field goal, blocked extra point. What do you think of Penn State's special teams operation in the opener?
Barney Amore was a masterclass in punting. It's funny to think about that in a matter of, it was something like 11 days, he went from being an FCS transfer, walk-on transfer, to getting a scholarship presented to him by Eli Manning, to being named the starter, to then having a really fantastic game. I think of his eight punts, three of them landed inside the 20. He had talked a little bit after the game about how important consistency is for punting so that when you make mistakes, that those mistakes are, if not mistakes that go left or right, they're mistakes that go straight and that kind of result in fair catches. So finding that consistency to at least get the ball straight and kind of put it generally where he wants to, he felt pretty solid about his first game. But, you know, I think for that to be his debut this season, special teams, I thought he was probably the highlight of that group.
Sammy, you and I both know that in every other sport, you have preseasons, preseason games, basketball's preseason scrimmages. Penn State, for example, have two this year. College football doesn't have that. So what on your checklist will you be looking for on Saturday to see where you think Penn State has improved or not improved?
I think there are two things I'm looking at for Penn State, because I hate to say this. I hate to call any game a cupcake game, but Ohio is essentially a cupcake game. It's essentially a preseason game against a non-conference team. For it to be their second game makes a difference. So the two things I think I'm looking for out of Penn State are, can they establish the run game a little bit better? Because they have a really strong backfield, especially with the two true freshmen, Katron Allen and Nick Singleton. Kevon Lee obviously being the veteran of that group. Purdue had a really solid run defense. Penn State wasn't exactly able to break any loose. They had some nice runs. They had some, like, oh, almost one more block or get to the second level, whatever. But they didn't have that big, break. They didn't get that big broken play where they're able to break a run loose. So Ohio's run defense is not nearly the level of Purdue. So I think if they can really establish the run game a little bit better, just by breaking a couple loose and pushing the issue a little bit more in the run game, that's the first thing. And then, I'm not the only person to say this, but it's not a Sean Clifford like redemption game, but it's a Sean Clifford. I heard what a lot of people said after I threw that interception. And I heard what a lot of people said about what Drew Allar, his one possession, how strong he looked as the backup when Sean Clifford was dealing with cramps. For Sean Clifford, it's to come out and just continue to play well. We talked about on the outset of this that there was a lot more hot than there was cold in that Purdue game, but that people sort of walk away with looking at the cold. For Sean Clifford, you have to really put it down the throats of Ohio.
Okay, and one final question, Sam, and that deals with playing a conference game to start. Notre Dame, Ohio mm-hmm. State's a non-con, but a big game. Florida State, LSU, non-con, big game. Georgia, Oregon, non-conference game, but big game. Okay, so Penn State opens up with a conference game, right? Mm-hmm. And they're not the only ones to do that. But how do you feel about opening with a conference game as opposed to a non-conference game of some sort?
It really does have its pros and cons. Off the top of my head, I believe this is the fifth time that Penn State's done it in 130-plus years, and the third year in a row. So it's something that maybe this roster that's been around a little bit has gotten a little more used to, or maybe this staff that's been around a little has gotten a little more used to. It's definitely not easy, because it helps to have those out-of-conference games, those bye games, where you can sort of get your footing, as we talked about, they're going to make those first-game mistakes. So to have something like that early, to have a game like this, it really hits them in the mouth early, and then I think it's better in the long run. But it helps early on in the season to have those games where you can make those mistakes and still not be detrimental mistakes in games against non-conference opponents that maybe aren't up to the level of the Big Ten. So I think it has its pros and cons. Because they were able to beat Purdue on the road, that's a really tough ask to go into another Big Ten stadium and win an opener against a conference opponent. The fact they were able to win, I think, really works in their favor, and I think in the long run is going to help them.
Well, contrary to popular belief, Sam, I have not done all the games for 130 years.
Me neither.
Sam, thanks so much. Appreciate it. Look forward to seeing you on Saturday.
Thank you guys so much. Appreciate you having me on.